Welcome back to the book of Genesis, the first book of the Bible. We've been working through the creation story and the early stories of Genesis really over the last 5 or 6 months, with a lot of things in between like Vacation Bible School and Easter and a lot of things. We've been looking at some of the significant stories in the early chapters of Adam and Eve and the Garden of Eden and Cain and Abel. And more recently, we've been in a kind of series within the series about the life of Noah. And there's so many places to look at in the story of Noah. Go on to that next slide, would you please, Nate? And so many things about Noah's life that gets our attention and we think about that are significant. We kind of began the series of Noah with the pain in God's heart and how God saw the world at the time. We talked about the provision of God's mercy with the ark and how God found in Noah a man that pleased him, and God had a plan of mercy and grace. And then we looked a few weeks ago at the punishment of God's judgment and how reality of who God is, to understand that He is a God of judgment, and there will be a day that will come and judge the earth, and every one of us will stand before the judge. Every single one of us will stand before the throne of God, and the Bible says that it's appointed once for man to die, and after this, the judgment. And that's kind of a sobering thing to think about with the reality of who God is, but it is very true. And if we are prepared to meet God through a faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we're ready to see God, and it will be a great time. But if we're not, we can only imagine what it must be like, and what it must be like to come before the judgment of God in an eternal sense. Well, this morning we're going to celebrate Holy Communion and God's grace and think about His mercy again. And that's kind of a part of the story that I want to focus on this morning. I want to talk about the storm that Noah went through, and the perseverance that Noah and his family had to have to go through the storm that they did. We certainly know that we have storms in life. Every one of us have storms in life. And in those storms, we have to make some decisions about who we are and what we believe. And we need to make decisions about our faith in the storm. I can try to imagine how much faith Noah needed in the circumstances of his life in order to continue to trust God when he didn't know what was going to happen and he only knew part of the story that was coming. And I know that it takes a lot of faith for you and I to trust God in the storms of our lives. And some of you are here today and you would say, I'm in a storm right now. It might be a storm of any area of your life, maybe in a broken relationship, maybe in your health, maybe in your finances, could be in all kinds of different places. You may be going through a storm today. If you haven't been through a storm, I can promise you, you will. And there'll be a storm to your faith, and it will challenge your faith. I don't know of anybody in my three privileges of being a pastor in three churches, probably anybody older than a child who have not been through some storms. In fact, as I just think back of some of the great people that I've had the privilege of serving with and in this church family, and I just right now look around at you, I probably can't find a single adult here who I would say they've not gone through storms. The reality is we all go through storms. The reality is that that's part of life. We wish that it wasn't that way. Sometimes for some, the storms are more intense than others, and they're longer, and they seem to be come back. But the truth is, we go through storms. So this morning, I want to talk to you about some principles of how do you handle the storms of life. What do you do when the storms come and the difficult times come? I'd like to invite you to read with me Genesis chapter 7. If you want to follow along, I want to read Genesis chapter 7, beginning at verse 17. Genesis chapter 7, verse 17. For 40 days the flood kept coming on the earth, and as the waters increased, they lifted the ark high above the earth. The waters rose and increased greatly on the earth, and the ark floated on the surface of the water. They rose greatly on the earth, and all the high mountains under the entire heavens were covered. The waters rose and covered the mountains to a depth of more than 20 feet. Every living thing that moved on the earth perished. Birds, livestock, and wild animals, all the creatures that swarm over the earth and all of mankind. Everything on dry land that had the breath of life in its nostrils died. Every living thing on the face of the earth was wiped out. Men and animals and the creatures that move along the ground and the birds of the air were wiped from the earth. Only Noah was left and those with him in the ark. The waters flooded the earth for 150 days. I'd like to just ask you for a moment this morning to think about the storm that Noah went through. I want you to just kind of imagine what it was like. Of course, we know some of the details, but kind of speculating about exactly how intense it was and how violent it was and all the things about this. Somehow it says that the great fountains of the deep burst forth and it rained and water was coming up from the ground. And I don't know exactly how quickly all of life perished that was on the earth, but we know that it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. And just imagine, I mentioned a couple of weeks ago a little article from the internet about a fifth ocean that has supposedly or thought to have been discovered underneath the mantle of the earth. It's under most of North America, and it's an ocean that's five times as large as all the other oceans that are known to exist on the surface of the earth put together. There's another ocean that's supposed to be larger, five times larger than all the water. Just imagine all the water it would take to cover the earth 20 feet above the highest mountain. Whether all the mountains were the same height then or not, certainly those are questions to wrestle with and think about. But just imagine what the storm must have been like to produce the depth of water. We do know that storms come in all parts of life. Those of you that I'm sure have been through storms could begin to describe what storms can do to you. Storms come in all kinds of ways. And we as Christians must choose how we face storms that come into our lives. For those that are Christians, for those that choose to be disciples of Jesus, our faith and our attitude about our circumstances and the storms that come to our lives can greatly help us to persevere in those storms and be the people that we want to be and we know that God wants us to be. All of us have been around other people in storms. Some people have seemingly been destroyed by the storms, and sometimes their faith is destroyed by the storms, and the circumstances of life are too much for them, and the storms seem to surge over them and destroy them. And yet we also, all of us know people, have gone through incredible, unbelievable, disastrous circumstances and painful things in their lives, and yet they seem to emerge, maybe not right away, but over time they seem to emerge with a faith that we admire. But the truth is that storms can help us to be stronger as God's people, or they can destroy us. Satan wants to take every difficulty, every storm, and destroy our lives. Satan wants to take a negative thing that happens to us, whether it's brought on by our own actions or brought on by the actions of others, or some random, what seems like a random thing that's a part of living in a world that's broken and a world that is full of pain and problems. And Satan wants to take those events. Satan wants to take your heart and your attitude in the midst of the storm and destroy your faith. He wants to diminish your faith. He wants to destroy your faith. As I said before, I don't know of a single person in my life who hasn't been through storms, some more than others. I've been around some people that have been through some storms that seem so impossible for me to come to terms with. And I can hurt with them as much as I can, but I realize the depth of their pain and their sorrow and their agony and their sadness is far more than I can realize. And there's only one that can really know what they feel and what they're going through. I do want to say to you today that no matter how deep the hurt is, how great the storm is, there is only one person that really can understand the pain of your heart. And I know it's Jesus. I know that Jesus does understand where we're at. Somehow when he came to the earth and he endured, he took on the humanity and he lived through temptation and he took on the cross all of the sin and pain of this world, that somehow there's only one person that can really completely identify with who you are and what you've gone through and what you've felt in life. And we know his name is Jesus. Sometimes when we're in the storms of life, We know we have to just wait out the storm. Sometimes it's easier than others, because sometimes when we're in a storm, we know what's going to happen, and we see the end, and we know that we're going to make it through the storm. Most of the storms are like that in life. Most of the storms that we go through are like that. We know that it's going to be there for a while, and we know that it's going to be resolved one way or another, and that's one kind of storm. But I know that there's some kind of storms that we go through and we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what the end circumstances are going to be. We may not know where we're going to be or where somebody else is going to be. I realize that Satan has all kinds of different storms. As I said before, Satan has all kinds of different temptations in our lives to draw us away, but also Satan uses the storms in our lives. But just as Satan uses the storms in our lives to destroy us, we know that God can use the storms in our lives to make us stronger. Think about Noah, would you, this morning for a few minutes in the ark. Think about that ark that's somehow in this restless water, the lightning and the wind, and imagining what the storm must have been. We know rain and water coming up from the bottom. I just imagine it as being this little tiny wooden box, even though it was massively big, but in the ocean being tossed around for 40 days and 40 nights by the raging sea, battered by the waves. And I think of what they had just gone through. I mean, they just witnessed the death of every other person on earth and the animals. And what was it like for Noah and his family in the boat? Death all around them. Rain and lightning continuously striking. Something they probably had never experienced before. It seems like from the text of the story that it had never rained before. The water had always come up from the ground, but somehow it came from both above and below as they endured the storm. Think about the lightning that we associate with such rain and storms around the earth. I read this past week that lightning hits the earth 8 million times a day. Think about that. 8 million times a day around the world is what is estimated to be the number of times that lightning hits the earth. Imagine what that would be like when it's raining for 40 days and 40 nights and the thunderous judgment of God coming down. Imagine what it's like to be in that little boat. Sometimes it seems like when we're in the storm, we're in a little boat. It may seem big when we look at it from a when we walk up to it, but when we get in it and the storm's raging around us, the boat doesn't seem very big. Sometimes the security that we have doesn't seem very big at all. I've seen a lot of artists' portrayal of the ark. I've looked at a lot of pictures online, and you probably have too. Most of them kind of show an ark as being neat and clean and a fun, happy, quiet place with animals that are making nice noises and all those things. But I wonder what it was really like on the ark. I wonder, you had during this storm 40 days and 40 nights of rain. I don't know how long you've ever been in a storm. I know that last week and a half ago, we had a good storm that came through Mifflinburg, and Debbie and I were home. It was about 10:30 or 11 o'clock at night, and the lightning was hitting all around us. And some of you know that apparently lightning hit right behind our house. We thought it hit the house. We were in the living room, and we just literally jumped up out of the chairs. It was so loud and booming, and the out the back door, it was just white. It was really, I don't think I've ever had lightning hit as close, except when it hit the church I was in when I was a little boy. But it didn't seem to knock our power out, and then it was hitting all around us for about 3 minutes, and then it was gone. And the next morning we woke up and found out that it had knocked our well out and some other things. But you know that urgency or that suddenness of the storm, I mean, I've always loved watching a lightning storm, but you know when it comes and it comes and it comes and it comes and it comes, imagine what it would be like to put up with that for 40 days and 40 nights, 40 days of nights and rain. And then the scriptures say that it was 150 days where the ark floated on the water. That's almost half a year, 6 months, not quite 6 months, but going on a half a year, 5 months anyway, the ark floated on the water, testing Noah's faith. You know, sometimes the storm lasts a long time. Sometimes even after the storm, there's a time when we're not sure what's going to happen. Maybe the intensity of it is over for then, but then there's that long period of pain, that long period of searching, that long period of wondering what's going to happen in my life, what's going to happen in the relationship, what's going to happen in my job, what's going to happen in my circumstances. But just imagine what it was like for Noah and his family, 150 days floating on the water, the intensity, testing Noah's faith. And then I think also about the storm that Noah went through here and the drifting. I mean, here's the ark. There's no land to be seen, no land anywhere that Noah knows about, and the ark is drifting. You know, when we're drifting, it's pretty difficult sometimes. That's what you might call it when you come out of a storm. Being driven by forces that you don't understand, being driven by the wind and forces that you can't control, but all you know is something else is controlling your life. Have you been to that place in your life when it just feels like something else, somebody else, some circumstances are driving your life and you don't know what to do about it? You don't seem to have an anchor. You don't have a way to say, I'm in the storm and I want it to stop. You just are driven for 150 days or maybe 2 years, maybe 6 years, but you're driven by the storm. How difficult it must be for your faith. In storms that are shorter and intense, when you feel like you don't have control over your circumstances. Do you ever feel that way? That your life is adrift, and in the storm that you're in, that you kind of just feel like you're like in this boat out in the middle of nowhere, and you don't know where you're going to land. You don't know what's going to happen. You just know it's painful. Again, I want to remind you that in the storms that you're in, you're not alone. And then there was the ark itself. Can you imagine the hard work that went into being on that ark for all those months? What it was like to take care of the animals, the hard work that went into it. I mean, again, we think of the ark as kind of being this pleasant, happy place and all that. But can you imagine what it was like taking care of those animals, the sights and the smells? I mean, you know, sometimes life just absolutely stinks. Sometimes the best way to say about storms that we're in is there's nothing good to be said about it. It's hard work. It's toil. It's just trying to endure and make it through that time period. Life stinks sometimes. It's not fair. You don't ask for the path that you're on. I wonder, you know, as far as you know, Noah never came to God and said, God, look around at all this horrible wickedness on the earth. And God, yeah, I know your heart's broken by this. And I just wonder maybe if you ought to start again. And, you know, it wasn't Noah's idea for God to destroy the world. It wasn't Noah's idea for God to build an ark. God came to Noah and gave him the job. And so there was Noah, kind of carried on by the hand of God and the circumstances. Sometimes the path that we're on in the storm and after the storm is not the path that we would choose. But Noah was able to find grace in the eyes of the Lord. I think also about the ark and how limited the space was. Sometimes the storms of life make us feel very trapped. I just imagine what it was like for Noah and those six other people. You know, we speculate and movies are made about them and, you know, all kinds of what it was like for Noah and his wife, seven others on the ark. But sometimes we can be trapped by our circumstances too. It's like there's people around us, but it's not people that are helping us. The only escape might seem like in the storm, the only escape from the storm is just to leave the safety of the ark and end it all. Some of you may have felt that desperate sometimes. A lot of us have felt pretty desperate sometimes. That's what Satan does to us. He will take you to the place in the storm. I just want to say to you how precious you are to God. even in the worst storm of your life. It's easy to say that when we're not in a storm, but sometimes I think maybe. I'm not sure when to say that to you, but to tell you that Satan will try to tell you at the worst point in your life, just better to get off. It is never, never the right answer to the pain on the inside. I know it might feel like it to you sometimes. I know when I was a teenager, I felt that way sometimes. It usually came and went. I just know that Satan uses our pain, our emotions, a lack of knowing the plan and that it's going to be okay and we're going to get through it. Satan uses all that. Sometimes he finds that hook. But I want to say to you, especially young people, it is never, ever the right answer to the pain that you might feel in life. And all of us. It may seem like it sometimes. I don't doubt that it might feel like that sometimes, but God can help us to do better than that. And so we go on trying to survive, sometimes in circumstances beyond our control, and we find a way to make it through the storm. But what I want to promise about the storm this morning is that God is always present in the storm. That's an eternal, infinite, powerful, amazing God. Don't forget that. God is always present in your life. He loves you. He knows what you're dealing with. And he is a lighthouse. A song that we've sung here in this service, I don't have all the words down, but I just think about it today. He sees you when you fall. He knows your name. He knows you at times in your life when you're in that storm, and he's watching over you. I notice in chapter 8, verse 1, this verse says, but God remembered Noah and all the wild animals and the livestock that were with him in the ark, and he sent a wind over the earth, and the waters receded. Just want you to know that no matter how long the storm seems and the problems seem, I want you to know that God will remember you. God remembered Noah. God knows where you're at in the storm. He remembers you. He thinks about you. I don't know why God waited 100 and however many days it was before he sent the wind, but I do know this. If you choose to be a Christian, you choose to be a disciple of Jesus, there's times in your life that you have to hold on to the times of waiting and trusting God in your life. For some people, it seems interminably long of waiting and trusting. But you can do it with God's help, no matter what storms you're in. Waiting and trusting. The truth is, God was with Noah in the storm. God was with everybody on the boat. God hadn't left them or forgot about them, and God will be with you too when you go through a storm in your life. God promises to be with us in our storms. Though there is a time of waiting, and we have to choose to understand that. We have to choose to accept that. We have to choose that sometimes we just have to wait it out. And we have to trust God. If we're going to be believers and disciples of Jesus, we have to say, God, we're going to hold on to you and who you are in the storms of life. Storms do test our faith. They can make us stronger, or they can cause us to give up. But we must be willing to wait and trust. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Something about Noah's story, of course, is about faith. Holding on to what we believe, even though we don't feel it, even though we don't see it, even though we can't experience it, it's distant, it's away. Faith is holding on to the truth of God. There's something to be said about godly perseverance. God can help us if we hang in there in the storm. When you're in the storm, don't forget who you are. And it's easy to. Don't forget who you belong to. Remember who you are. And don't forget who God is in the storm. Not only do you need to remember who you are, but you need to remember who God is. Remember the eternal, infinite God who has a plan for all of eternity. I mean, forever and ever and ever and ever. And though your what the Bible calls momentary troubles might seem monumental, I mean, they just might seem so big and painful and overwhelming that life isn't worth anymore, but God sees this eternal picture of a loving plan for you and for life and for all of eternity. I know it's hard to feel that. I know there's times when you don't feel that. It's not feelings today, I'm telling you, you're going to have, but it's faith that's got to be there of who God is. God can be trusted in the storms of your life. Neither will I leave you, neither will I forsake you, Jesus said. I will be with you always to the ends of the earth. One more picture this morning. I want to kind of leave you as we move into communion with one more picture about the promises of God. It's a picture of Jesus in the boat. I think of what it must have been like on that smaller body of water, the Sea of Galilee, and having had the privilege to be there a little bit and see it in the calmness of it. But imagine what it was like for those 12 in the boat when the storm was raging. And there's Jesus that stands up. The story says he stood up in the boat. Don't forget that Jesus is in the storm with you. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at, remember that Jesus is there for you. We celebrate communion today as a reminder of the sufficiency of what Jesus has done for us. We take the bread and we break it symbolically that he was broken for us. He's broken for all our needs and our hurts and our problems. And we take the juice as a reminder of the blood of Jesus. I want you to know today that whatever's going on in your life, Jesus is the answer. He's the answer to sin. He's the answer to pain. He's the answer to your future. Jesus offers his grace and his love and his mercy and his strength today.